Well, good morning, friends. I'm James Zepperly, and I want to welcome you to Good Morning Live. I am so glad that you've joined me today. We're going to lean into the word, and I believe this word today can literally shape the course of your life. Now, you might be saying, well, yeah, you always say that, and preachers always say that. Well, good. I think any preacher who's worth their salt should believe in what we're preaching. We should believe in the power of the gospel and what we're saying. But, you know, we've been talking about boldness. We've been talking about, you know, taking a stand for righteousness and leaning in. And yesterday we talked about pre-deciding, having that pre-decision, if you will, that we've made up our mind as we are leaning in to life. And I think today is the perfect continuation to having a made-up mind that we're going to follow Jesus. And today I want to talk to you about the discipline. Here's a word we don't like, but the discipline of daily decisions. The discipline of daily decisions. Because here's what I have learned walking with God is courage is very rarely found in the big moments, right? But courage is often born in the daily moments. Victories don't just come out of nowhere. They come out of a life that is built on small, consistent, faithful choices. I'm going to say that again. Victories come out of a life that is built on small, consistent, and faithful choices. Like, very rarely do we just, you know, we often hear it, people, well, they made it overnight, you know, and a lot of stars or musicians or singers, if you hear their story and they're like, well, yeah, I may have just kind of burst onto the scene according to you. But if you really knew the story, there was a whole journey that suddenly had a sudden breakthrough. And often in life, right, that's how it's found, is you don't just wake up one day in complete victory. It is the result of small decisions built on the back of other good decisions that lead you into victory. So let me frame it like this. We've said in this past week that cowardice is hesitation, but courage is pre-decision. The people of God are not called to hesitate. We are called to decide. Just like Joshua, if you remember, we talked about Joshua 24:15. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What we pulled from that is Joshua didn't wait until the idols showed up to then make up his mind. He didn't wait till the temptation was strong. No, he made a decision beforehand. And today, that's what we're going to learn how to do, how to make those small decisions beforehand. Right? So there's power in small decisions. Luke 16:10 says, he who is faithful in what is least will be faithful also in much. That faithfulness is tested not in the spotlight, but come on, you know this, in the shadows. Faithfulness isn't about the big moments of courage. It's about the small daily decisions that we make when no one else is watching. The reality is God is watching, but that's where they say integrity is built, not when you do what's right in front of people, but when you do what's right when nobody else can see. I think I told you a story not long ago, or maybe it was at church. I don't know. Preached so many places, but not long ago, we were at a grocery store or Lowe's or something like that. And it was raining and all the kids were with me. And we got the cart to the car and loading everybody in. And then the realization that happened, I'm kind of at that in-between parking spot space, if you know what I'm talking about, where like the distance between my car and the cart return is the distance. And so it is between my car and the store. I kind of just parked at that in between. And every ounce of my being, I thought, I'm just going to leave this cart right here. And I attempted to. And it kept just rolling. And so I'd have to go stop it from rolling. I tried to walk away and it rolled again. And I just thought, whatever, I'm just going to take the cart back. So I pushed the cart back. And here, as I'm going back to my car, an older gentleman stops me and he says, man, I want to tell you, I appreciate you putting your cart back. That's integrity. Your kids are watching that. And, you know, and he's like, oh, I said, oh, thank you, whatever. But little did he know, I just had a whole inward battle. My attempt was to leave the cart there. It just kept rolling. So it forced me to do the right thing. But that's what integrity is again, I didn't really have the, be honest, I'm going to be transparent. I didn't have the integrity to put the cart back where it was supposed to go. I had every intention of leaving it right there in the middle of the parking lot, just where I was, right? And, you know, so in public, somebody saw me put it back and got praise, but really that wasn't where my heart was in it. But the reality is integrity is defined by what we do when no one else, when we think no one else is watching. Why? Because it's not built in the spotlight, but it's built in the shadows. Think about this. A plane only has to be 1 degree off course. If it's just off course 1 degree, it can end up hundreds of miles from its destination. 1 degree to the right or the left can equal hundreds of miles away from its destination. And your life and my life works the exact same way. The small daily yes or no choices are setting the trajectory of our futures. So here's my question. What small habits, what daily choices are steering your life right now? What small habits, what daily choices is steering your life right now? Why? Because your life is always moving in a direction. There is no stagnancy. You are either moving forward or backwards. So the choices that you are making every day, listen, that's where, you know, somebody, you know, can come into the house of the Lord and, you know, be moved emotionally in a service and make a decision for Jesus and walk out the door and go back and live the exact same life that they've always lived and see no evidence of a decision that they made in a moment. Why? Because if it's just a decision that you've made in the moment, then you've lost the power of it. But if you back up a decision that you've made in the moment with small daily choices, then you will build on the power. You will see the effect. You will see the growth of that moment. So let's look at Daniel. Daniel's one of the clearest examples of daily discipline. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10 says, now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks to God, as was his custom since early days. So what's interesting about this is Daniel did not wait until the king's decree, right? To suddenly, like, you know what? You're making a decree against prayer. I'm going to build a prayer life in defiance, right? Because that's what most of us would do. We want to rise to the occasion, rise to the moment. Have a big declaration. I'm gonna pray now. And yeah, those things can stir in us and it can and change the you know our course, and that's great. But Daniel didn't wait for the king's decree for him to build a prayer life. He already had one. Why? Because it said it was a custom. It was his custom to pray and give thanks to the Lord 3 times a day. And that's why when the lions roared, Daniel stood tall. That's when Babylon pressed in, Daniel prayed, right? So we have to be very, very cautious and careful, because sometimes we want to live it out, right, in the big spotlight, big moments. But the circumference of our life is found in those small daily decisions. Jesus lived this out. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Jesus, the Son of God, prayed daily. If Jesus, the Son of God, prayed daily, how much more do we? notice that before his miracles, before teaching the crowds, before choosing his disciples, Jesus anchored his life in prayer. Listen, friends, you can't feed your soul if you're feeding your phone first. I'm preaching to me. You can't feed your soul if you're feeding your phone first. You want to know if you're feeding your phone first? Open up your settings app. Find out how much time you have spent on your phone. It'll tell you. It'll be very, it won't lie. Between our phone time, our TV time, all that. And again, there's nothing wrong with those things. But often we serve those things first and they say, wow, I wish I had more time to pray. I wish I had more time to be in the Word of God. Following Jesus, there's just not a lot of time in my day. I wish I could be at church when the doors were open. I'm just so busy. You can't feed your soul if you're feeding something else. Listen, start your day with the Word of God, with prayer. This isn't legalism. This is survival. This is how we endure. That's why even Jesus said, as the end approaches, don't forsake yourselves from the house of the Lord, from assembling together, from the church. Why? Because this, it's not legalism, it's essential. I heard somebody, a minister, talking yesterday, and they were saying about this thing of people pushing back of daily prayer, daily reading, and saying, well, that's legalism. We don't need to be legalistic. Well, no, that's intimacy. Intimacy is intimacy because it was a choice. You get that? Intimacy is an intimacy if it was forced upon another person. We have a definition for that. Forced intimacy, we have a definition for that. Intimacy is intimacy because we consciously made a decision that I'm going to do this. So it's not legalism. It's intimacy. It's that, Father, I make a decision in my mind, in my heart, in my spirit. I'm going to choose you. I'm going to spend this time. I'm going to choose you first. I'm going to choose you first. And when we choose him first, everything else comes into order. So never get it twisted. It's not legalism. It's making that decision. I choose him first. Listen, Christianity isn't a one-time altar call. It's not a just, you know, I chose Jesus in 1998 and now I'm good. No, it is a daily choice. Jesus said, you have to pick up your cross and follow me. Every day we make a decision, will I pick up my cross and follow him, or will I drop it today? Every day you deny yourself or you indulge yourself. Every day you either follow him or you follow the crowd. The kingdom of God is not built on mountaintop experiences. It's built by daily choices. See, one of the things that harm us in this is we think that God doesn't, you know, he's the God of the big moments. He doesn't care about the small things. That's why in scripture, he reminds us, listen, I know the number of hairs on your head. I know every tear that has fallen from your eyes. I know, you know, the birds. I feed the ravens. I feed the birds. I clothe the fields. Like, what is he trying to say? I know the deep, intimate details of your life. So choosing me on the mountain is great, but will you choose me on a Tuesday? Will you choose me on Thursday when you're frustrated and tired and angry? Will you still choose me then? Listen, obedience compounds like interest in a bank account. Every small act of obedience builds on the last one. And every time you say yes to God in this small thing, you are preparing yourself for bigger things to come. That's why Galatians 6:9 just says to us, let us not grow weary while doing good. Don't grow weary. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't think it doesn't matter. Don't think God's not watching. Don't think it doesn't, you know, well, nobody else is in the room. They don't know what I'm watching. They don't know what I'm doing. God's watching. And he says, listen, when you keep making those right decisions, it's that compounding interest. Like, for in due season, we will reap if we do not lose heart. Like, I always tell people this when we do a church fast, or, you know, somebody's coming to me asking about fasting. Listen, those first hours, that first day or two, man, it is torture. But there comes this crossing over point, for me anyway, in fasting. And when I've talked to other people, they usually testify to this, where it's like somewhere around the second day, third day, where it's like, if I can get there, I have enough compound interest that it pushes me, where it's like, I've come too far. I did not just fast. You know, if you're doing a 20-day fast or something, I did not just fast and go through 2 or 3 days of torture to quit now, right? And there's this kind of this compounding momentum that begins to happen, where suddenly, yeah, in the beginning it was so hard and it was torture, but now you're kind of, a train is moving, you're kind of rolling. Why? Because there's compounded interest in obedience. So don't grow weary in well-doing. Somebody listening today, you feel weary. You've been showing up, you've been praying, you've been tithing, you've been sowing into people who never thanked you. And now you're asking, was it worth it? Was it worth putting myself out there only to be stabbed in the back? Was it worth investing my years into that company for them to not see my value? Is it worth it holding my integrity when it seems like the wicked are rewarded? Let me tell you, yes, it is worth it. Your due season is coming. Your season of harvest is coming. Your season of breakthrough is coming. So don't quit before the breakthrough. Don't quit before God shows up. You just keep serving. You just keep making right decisions. You just keep saying, Lord, give me wisdom. Help me make right decisions. Help me live my life right before you. And listen, in due season, you will reap a harvest. So how do we live this out? Well, let me give you a simple framework for daily discipline, right? Number one, we're never getting away from this, the word. Start with scripture. Start with the word. David said, your word have I hidden in my heart so I do not sin against you. He knew that it was the entrance of the word of God in his heart that would help him not sin against God and make right decisions. His word, come on, open your Bible before you open your notifications on your phone. Get in this book. Number two, prayer. Begin the day with prayer. Even if it's a few, few sentences. Father, I thank you. Good morning, Holy Spirit. I thank you for today. I thank you for waking me up. Help me start on my day. Like, because all the morning people are like, oh, that's my God time. Yeah, we just love it. And all of the non-morning people are like, good morning, God. We'll talk later. And, listen, I think there is power in spending that time with the Lord in the morning. Scripture often talks about that morning. David got up in the morning. Jesus got up in the morning. There's something that happens with that. But listen, God knows you. And I think, for some, it might be the morning when you drive to work that you spend that time. You turn the radio off and you spend it with God because you're not a morning person. The fact of the matter is, make sure you carve the time out, make it a holy time, a set time where, every day on my drive to work or once I put the kids on the bus or I get up, 20 minutes before everybody else does, and I read the word of God. I have my coffee. I just spend that, however that works in your life. But be in the word, be in prayer. Number three, integrity. Be faithful in small things. Remain honest. Build your character. Be a good steward of what God has given you. Be a person of integrity. Number four, relationships. Practice daily encouragement, forgiveness, and love. Be quick to forgive. Be quick to let go. Be quick when there's opportunities for offense. Be quick to just forgive, repent, whatever you got to do, and move on from it. Don't hold grudges. The Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Right? I can't carry this. I'm just going to be obedient. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to do what I have to do. I'm going to maintain healthy relationships. And then number five is obedience. Ask, Holy Spirit, what is it that you want me to do today? Or what do you want me to do in this situation? Again, Don't think God only cares about the big moments. The Bible says he perfects that which concerns you, which means he's worried about what concerns you. Daily decisions like these might feel so small and insignificant, but they add up to an unshakable life. There's power in consistency. I've been talking to some of our team here at church just about that, about consistency. And, you know, not long ago, we launched the two services, and it kind of just, you know, everyone's trying to find their footing and their ground on just this new format for doing church. And I've said myself, it still feels like we're doing special services, not how, you know, and, you know, we introduced some new segments into our church service, and, you know, it didn't seem like people responded. And I said, but listen, we're going to keep consistent week in and week out. We're going to remain faithful. We're going to do what God's asked us to do. We're just going to keep plugging away. Why? Because there's something about just showing up, just being consistent, just keep praying, just keep giving, just keep your integrity, just stay in the word, and it will, you will eventually look back and you will see you are living an unshakable life. So let's kind of just look at some of these heroes that we've talked about through this lens. Think about Joseph, who resisted temptation in Potiphar's house. Why? Because he was faithful, and he had already pre-decided he was going to hold his integrity in his lifestyle. David, I think about David, who, you know, he didn't face Goliath in the valley by accident, right? He didn't just get his slingshot out and just, you know, throw a stone and, oh, wow, it hit. No, David had been faithful back in the field where nobody saw him. He had been faithful to worship, and he had been faithful to fight the lions and the bears in the field, which all built him that compound like I talked about. He took care of the lion. He took care of the bear. He practiced with his slingshot. He just remained faithful, and it all built to this one moment that now we still talk about thousands of years later, but it didn't start there. It started in a field by himself, holding his integrity when no one else was watching. Come on, he had to practice that slingshot. He had to get good with his aim. He didn't just sit back and say, well, I mean, I'm here by myself. Who cares whether I'm good with my slingshot or not? He remained faithful, even when there was no recognition. I think about Paul. He said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I affirm by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord. He said, I die daily. Each one of these men had already made up their mind before the test. Paul said, I die daily. So let me ask you some reflective questions today, and myself, really. What small foxes are spoiling your vineyard? You find that reference in Song of Solomon 2:15, that the small foxes spoil the vineyard. Those small decisions, those small things. What compromises keep lingering because you haven't made that pre-decision? What temptation seems strong only because you haven't settled the matter once and for all in your heart? Listen, if persecution came today, what habits would you hold on to? If your life went up in smoke today, what habits would you hold on to? Listen, what I'm trying to say is don't wait for the fire to decide. Don't wait for the lion's den to decide. Don't wait until the idol is in front of you to decide. Decide today. And then when you make that decision, walk it out today with every decision, whether it's putting that shopping cart back where it belongs. I'm a Christian. I do the right thing. I'm a person of integrity. I put the cart where it goes. Somebody gave you too much change. Yeah, I know we're all swiping our cards now, but in whatever circumstance, nope, I'm a Christian. I don't care if nobody would ever know about it. I know about it, and God knows about it. And I have to keep my conscience clean. I have to live above reproach. I have to be a person of integrity. I have to hold the standard. And it's not that you never fall. There's grace for that. But sometimes we just want to swim in oceans of grace, and I get it. But grace is meant to be applied when there's failure, not to be just the average everyday, well, oh, we can do whatever we want. There's grace. No, 1 Peter says, be holy as I am holy. calling the church, you be holy as I am holy. He's calling us to live different. So don't wait for your life to be on fire. Right? Don't wait. No, make the decision today. Make the decision today. I will live in integrity. I will live in holiness. I will do the small things. Before I showed you that clip of that army soldier talking about the importance of simply making your bed every single day and how it's a small thing, but it starts to build character. And it's like, no matter what happens in your world, you can always reflect back. No, I made my bed today. But it's just more about making your bed today. It's about setting healthy patterns and rhythms in your life. So let me close with this. Pre-decision sets your course. Daily discipleship keeps you on that course. I'll say that again. Pre-decision sets your course, but daily discipleship keeps you on that course. Luke 9:51 says, "Now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." Remember, we read that yesterday. Jesus had made a decision. So today, make that pre-decision of how you're going to serve God, but follow it up with every small decision. Why? Because it's the small decisions. It's the small fox that spoil the vine. It's the small errors in your integrity, the small things that you let out of your mouth that you know you shouldn't. So come on. We're not just rising up to be bold in our faith to proclaim it to other people. We're rising up to be bold in our faith and in our integrity and walk right and holy before God and before man. Let our lives display the work of the cross. And it doesn't mean you're not going to fail. Of course, we all make mistakes. We all have shortcomings, but that's when his grace rushes in to cover us. But the grace doesn't lower the standard, right? Grace cleanses us and propels us. Get back up. Keep going. Shake the dust off your feet. You messed up. Keep moving forward. There's a God of redemption. So let me pray for you today. Father, I thank you that you've given us grace for daily decisions. Help us to live faithful in the small things. Help us to carry our crosses every day and to honor you in every hidden choice. Build us in the courage of Daniel. Give us the resolve of Joseph and the faith of David and the daily discipline of Jesus. And we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being with me on Good Morning Live. Remember, your destiny is not built in the big moments, but in the small daily choices. So decide daily. Now, remember, God loves you. He's not mad at you. And he has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.